Welcome to Bible Talk, the program that gives Bible answers to Bible questions. This program is brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. Your speaker is Lynn Huggins, preacher with the St. James Church of Christ.
Last week on our program, we talked about two extremes that people have taken regarding God's grace, both of which are wrong. There are those who teach that man is saved solely by God's grace without any response on man's part. Well, we showed from Scripture that salvation by grace alone is not taught in the Scriptures. But also there are those who seem to think that their salvation is accomplished solely by their own goodness. They do not rely upon God's grace for their salvation, but rather upon their good deeds. Well, salvation by our own meritorious works is also not scriptural. These are two errors regarding grace. We cannot preach grace without preaching obedience to God's commands, and we must not be guilty of preaching obedience to commands without preaching grace. We showed from the Scriptures last week that while man cannot save himself, but is in need of God's grace for his salvation, there are conditions that man must meet in order to be saved by grace. We show that man meeting conditions laid down by God does not nullify grace. We learn that God's grace is linked to man's obedience. We gave the example of the blind man in John chapter 9. You remember Jesus spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And Jesus then said to the blind man, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam." Well, the man went and washed, and he came back seeing. Now notice, God's grace was extended to this blind man, but not until he did what Jesus commanded him to do. When the blind man went and washed, as Jesus had commanded, he came back seeing. Even though the blind man had to do something to receive his sight, it still can be said that he received a gift of God by God's grace. The man meeting conditions that Jesus commanded did not nullify grace. And in the same way, salvation is by God's grace, but man must meet certain conditions in order to receive the benefits of God's grace. Well, I want to further emphasize this point on our program this morning. Well, someone might be saying, well, what about Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9 where it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Someone says, doesn't this passage teach that salvation is by grace and not of any works that man must do? How can you say that man must meet certain conditions in order to be saved? Well, let's look at this passage. This passage says that we are saved by God's grace. We want to emphasize that point. Man cannot be saved by his own good works. The reason is all men have sinned, and man's good works are not a just payment for his sins. You see, man the sinner cannot do enough good works to justify himself, that is, free himself from the guilt of sins that he has committed. Let me explain it like this. Here I commit a sin, and sin is transgression of God's law. 1 John 3 and verse 4. Well, justice demands that I be punished. The just punishment for sin is eternal separation from God in hell. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death, meaning eternal separation from God. And the word wages indicates that this is something that I earn. Because of my sin, I deserve eternal death. Well, how can I be free from the guilt of my sin so that I don't have to be separated from God and go to hell? Well, the point Paul is making here in Ephesians 2 is that I cannot devise my own plan whereby I earn my salvation by my own works. If I from this day forward never commit another sin, and all I do are good works for the rest of my life, and let's say that I live for another 50 years, all those good works will not be a just payment for even the one sin that I have committed. Man's good works without God's grace can never save him from his sins. The just payment for our sins is the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. In Jesus' death on the cross, he bore our sins. Jesus paid the price for our sins so that we can be free from the guilt of our sins. Peter says concerning Jesus, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. 1 Peter 2 and verse 24. Jesus, then, giving his blood on the cross, is a sufficient atonement by which God can extend mercy to man and still maintain his justice. How can God be just and still forgive man of his sins? Well, it's because Jesus paid the price for sin in his death on the cross. And so salvation is a gift of God. Man cannot earn his salvation. And that's what Paul is talking about when he says, not of works. And I know that's what Paul is talking about in this passage because he says that salvation is not of works, lest anyone should boast. In other words, these are works, if one is saved by those works, would have the right to boast of his salvation. And so Paul is talking about works whereby one earns or merits his salvation. He's not talking about meeting certain conditions in order to receive God's gift. You know, Paul defines this kind of work, a work of merit, in Romans chapter 4. Now, in the book of Romans, Paul is proving that all men are guilty of sin and are in need of justification by the death of Christ. Since all have sinned, Gentiles and Jews, all must be justified, that is, freed from the guilt of sins, in the same way, and that is through the death of Christ. Many of the Jews were seeking to be justified by the law of Moses, but Paul shows that justification is by faith in Christ. He is saying that justification is through Christ, contrasting that against men's efforts to be justified by law. And he gives Abraham as an example here in Romans chapter 4. Verses 1 through 4 says, he says, "What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt." Now, Abraham's justification was not by works, but by faith, Paul says. But what kind of works is he talking about? Well, Paul says if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about. In other words, these are works that would give him the right to boast if he was justified by them. He would have reason to boast because he would have earned his righteousness. In verse 4, Paul says, "Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt." In other words, if Abraham was justified by works, then the reward is that which he earned. He receives the reward because it is his due. God owes him the blessings of righteousness. You see, Paul says the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. Well, this helps us define what kind of works Paul is talking about. He's talking about works whereby one is righteous on his own merits. The only way one could be righteous on his own merits is if he kept the law perfectly. He would have to so live as to never sin, never incur any guilt. Paul says in Romans 10 verse 5, "For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them." In other words, Paul is saying that according to what Moses wrote, in order to be righteous through nothing more than the law, men would have to keep the law perfectly. This is how one would be justified by works of law, that is, by never committing sin. But if a man sins, even once, justification can never come to him by works of law. He needs forgiveness, and the law does not provide a means for forgiveness. It only condemns when violated. And so the sinner cannot be justified by works of law. That is what is meant by "not of works, lest anyone should boast" in Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9. No one can be saved by works whereby he has the right to boast because he is a sinner and is in need of God's grace. He is in need of forgiveness. He needs the shed blood of Christ. He needs to come and put his faith, his trust, in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ if he is to be saved. Paul is not saying in this passage that a sinner does not have to do anything in order to be saved when he says not of works. Paul had no such point in view. Paul is just saying that no one can be justified by his own meritorious works of law. You see, we're saved by God's grace. We cannot earn our salvation. But the Bible teaches that there are conditions that we must meet in order to be saved by God's grace. You see, if we are saved solely by God's grace, without man doing anything to receive it, then we must conclude that all men will be saved. Titus 2 and verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." God's grace, then, is extended to all men. The writer of Hebrews says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone." Hebrews 2 and verse 9. And so if men are saved from their sins by grace only, then all men will be saved. But this is not what the Bible teaches. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it." Matthew 7 verse 13. Jesus says that many are lost. We therefore must conclude that salvation from sin by God's grace is conditional. In other words, there are conditions that man must meet before he will be saved by the grace of God. And that is what we find throughout the New Testament. The difference between those who were saved and those who were not saved is that those who were saved obeyed the commands to be saved. They met the conditions of salvation. In Acts chapter 2, we read of Peter preaching to the Jews who were sinners and who were in need of God's grace. Peter convinces them that they were sinners by proving that the Jesus that they had crucified, God had made him both Lord and Christ. Verse 37 says, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" Now, if there was nothing they needed to do to be saved, Peter would have answered their question by saying, "There's nothing you need to do. You're saved by grace alone." But that is not what Peter said. He said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Verse 38. Now notice, he told them to do something. He told them to repent, and each of them be baptized. Why? He says, "For the remission of sins." Verse 41 says, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." Now, there were more than 3,000 souls in Jerusalem that day who heard the apostles preach, but only those who obeyed were saved. Verse 47 says, "And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Not everyone was saved, only those who met the conditions of salvation. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 5 and verse 9 that Jesus became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Now notice, the difference between those who are saved and those who are not is obedience to Jesus. Now these passages are not saying that those who were saved by obeying the commands of God were justified by their own meritorious works. They did not earn their salvation. But these passages are telling us that in order to be saved from our sins by the grace of God, we must come to Jesus with an obedient faith. Well, our time is gone for today, and we thank you for listening. If you have a Bible question, or if you would like to request a free audio CD copy of any of our Bible Talk broadcasts, then give us a call. Our telephone number is 573-263-4690. 573-263-4690. Or you may send in your questions or requests by email. Our email address is sjchurch@sjchurchofchrist.com. sjchurch@sjchurchofchrist.com.
You have been listening to Bible Talk, brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. You're invited to the services of the St. James Church of Christ, Sunday morning at 9:30 for Bible classes and 10:15 for worship, Sunday evening at 5 for worship, Wednesday night Bible classes at 7. The church building is located at 685 Sydney Street in St. James, where Sydney Street and Highway B intersect. Thank you for listening, and join us again next week at this same time for Bible Talk.